This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here every day. We cover a whole diverse array of topics on this program. Some of that is checking in on political campaigns that are going on. We're going to do that today. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, Oregon's 4th Congressional District for 2026. Monique, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having me back.
So you launched your campaign about 6 weeks ago, beginning of October. How are things going so far?
You know, I was reflecting on my first Air Force assignment was Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, North Carolina. And my husband and I kept a sailboat at Cherry Point Marine Base. And it reminds me of when you put the sails up and right when the wind catches and there's just this catch and then there's a smooth sailing. I feel like we've hit it already. So things are going well. Our sails are filled and we're just steaming ahead.
Now, I know this early in the campaign, a lot of things kind of get worked on, some of the framing of what you want to do. Of course, fundraisers, working on strategies for up the road. Are you finding, though, that the average person is even ready to talk about the next election cycle yet?
Yes, and I have eager volunteers waiting in the wings. I just keep, you know, it's like it is a little early for the ground game, which will be big in all of our counties. But so we're getting involved in things like supporting this petition to get the gas tax on the ballot and just giving volunteers good projects to work on. And I'm encouraging everybody to follow our social media, which is popping with all the events I'm doing. I just spent 3 days in Coos Bay. And people are overdue ready for change. So I've had really positive reception that I'm back in the ring and taking on a rematch to get the job done this time and take out Val Hoyle.
Now, we had the federal government shutdown dragged on seemingly for a very long period of time, the longest one in the history of the nation. What were your thoughts watching that as it went on and the things that happened to get it resolved?
Well, wasn't that ridiculous and unnecessary and didn't cause any pain to our politicians, but to a lot of people right here in the district? Our current congresswoman voted twice to keep the government shut down while making really unreasonable demands that are contrary to what the American people want. You know, we want a medical care system that works and that takes care of American citizens. And she voted against opening the government, keeping a conversation going on how to fix it. You know, she mentioned in a recent interview that, like, their priorities are different than my priorities. You know, the priorities of the Republican Party and many in the Democrat Party and the couple independents we have is that we deliver affordable medical care, an affordable economy, starting with affordable medical care that people can access. And all she wants to do is dig in her heels and demand that we keep funding a broken system that is unaffordable for everybody and is also funding people that are not entitled to medical care. So I think it was a terrible waste of time and money, caused suffering to our federal workers in the United States, but right here in the 4th District, endangered the SNAP resources for, almost 60,000 people. It was outrageous. Our farmers, things got slowed down with new farm loans, disaster assistance payments, conservation program payments. All of this was significantly hampered. And what's really the worst thing is our congresswoman gaslights and blames and doesn't share the truth, that she voted to keep the government shut down.
What do you think now that it's reopening? It's kind of a bit of a process there. What would you suggest to assure that we don't have a shutdown like this again? Or is that even a possible thing to assure?
Of course it is. I'd be drafting solutions. I'd be coming up with answers to solving the problems that we all want to solve. Like I just said, the medical system in our country is broken. The Affordable Care Act isn't working. It needs to be revised. I wouldn't just be saying we need to keep funding a bloated system. Now, I think we do need some progressive transition, you know, so I'd support extending some subsidies in the current system, but it's got to be temporary and everybody's got to be on the same page. So I'd be working to get everyone across the aisle on the same page that we need to fix it, like so many things in our district and our country that we need to fix. So that's what I would be doing. I would be building consensus. I wouldn't be waiting for the speaker. I mean, our current congresswoman, I just acts like a victim. Like, you know, this Speaker Johnson's not calling the House together on the floor. It's like, that doesn't keep her from working with people. It wouldn't keep me from working with other people in Congress to come up with solutions for the American people and for the people in my district.
As you look at your campaign overall, what are the big issues that you're focusing on, hoping to talk more about in the next year?
Affordability. I mean, it's just so many people are leaving Oregon. Businesses, of course, are not supported in Oregon, and I'd like to keep fighting for them to have an environment. You know, last time I was endorsed by the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Businesses, they endorsed me because Val Hoyle rates in the bottom 14% of all the 435 Congress people. Her votes are bad for small businesses. I will vote. I will be advancing policy that is good for small businesses so that we can keep jobs here, keep the services those businesses provide here. That all contributes to an affordable economy in Oregon. Also, affordable housing. I'll be a representative that is serious about resolving the dearth of housing that we have in the 4th District. I was just out in Coos Bay at a housing symposium on that. I'll just sum that up with a room full of experts all coming to the conclusion long ago, really, that government is the reason we are not building housing in Oregon. Government rules, regulations, and barriers that just make it not only impossible or impossibly expensive. So it's just not happening. So I'll be working on affordability across the board, affordable housing, and getting back to economic prosperity. And then public safety remains a number one issue for me. So I'll continue to foot stomp that everybody, regardless of your party affiliation, everybody wants to feel safe in their neighborhoods. They want their children to be safe. That starts with a secure border. We have to be vigilant. We've made great progress. It needs to remain secure. And it all trickles down to security in our neighborhoods. So, of course, law enforcement, drug interdiction, all of these things. And then finally, government transparency and accountability. You know, it's just the gaslighting, the lies, the telling, you know, intelligent people who live out here in the 4th District that what their eyes see is not real. It would end. I won't be gaslighting when I'm your congresswoman.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow we talk with Aaron Larson from the Small Business Development Center at Umpqua Community College. They've got their business center right in downtown Roseburg. And coming up later in the week, other things as well. We've got some things headed into Thanksgiving to cover as well. Today, Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, on with us. Of course, as we have covered in a couple of interviews this past week or so, the gas tax referral petitions are out there, not just the gas tax, but four elements of the recently passed and signed transportation package. While you're running for Congress, I'm guessing that as a resident of Oregon, you probably have some thoughts on that topic. Tell us what you're thinking.
I do. I support it. I was in Coos County when I signed it here in Lane County, actually, last Saturday. Signed the petition myself, encourage people to express themselves. It's the way that we have are heard. I talk about that all the time. It's one of the primary reasons I'm running for Congress in the 4th District is because the people who live here are not heard by their elected representatives, and that starts with the governor, local representatives, city councilors, commissioners, and of course, Congresswoman Hoyle doesn't listen to us either. So this is a great way to express yourself, engage, get involved by just simply signing to get this tax on the ballot so that people can express themselves through the vote.
And we talked to Ed Deal yesterday. He talked about how fast moving the progress has been on that. I heard later in the day from, I think it was a pollster, that this may be the fastest moving petition gathering, signature gathering effort they'd ever seen.
It's fantastic, and I see the same energy in my grassroots volunteers and supporters on this congressional race. I think people are getting more and more tuned in and engaged, and I love it. And that's how we take back our district and our country and our state of Oregon.
Let's back up for people that aren't as familiar maybe with your background, though you did run 2 years ago. Talk about your time in the military.
Well, I intended to sign up for 4 years of active duty. I did that after I got my bachelor's degree in psychology at the University of Utah. Entered active duty, served for 6 years on active duty. I don't know for you Air Force people, my AFSC was 702. I was an administrative officer, section commander. During that time, I got to know the JAGs because I was working with them as a section commander, and just got interested in going to law school. So I actually became an Oregonian when I came to Salem. Willamette University is where I went to law school. And I transferred right into the Oregon Air National Guard at that time and was truly a traditional guardsman during the 3 years of law school. And I had my twins in law school. And then after that, I moved overseas 4 years in Singapore. I worked as an Air Force reservist at the embassy there. And then when I came back, was a reservist a bit longer up at McCord, and then transferred back to the National Guard, became a JAG, served as a JAG for about 20 years. So it was a very interesting career that I just loved. I retired at the end of 2019, and that was right before COVID, as we all remember, just sort of started paying attention to what was happening locally because my twins had grown up. They were almost finished at the University of Oregon. But those 30 years in the Air Force were, I just wouldn't trade them. I miss it. When I'm elected as your congresswoman, I'll be the only veteran in the entire congressional delegation, our 6 congresspeople and 2 senators, 0 experience in the military. And I think it's important. We have about 50,000 veterans in the district, and they are a priority to me. They always have been and will continue to be.
And, of course, here in Douglas County, one of the issues among veterans right now is seeing the state veterans home on the Roseburg VA campus eventually built. I mean, it's been a 15-year process so far. Right now, waiting for the federal piece to make that happen after the legislature has allocated a second time funds from the state. As you know, working in the military, a lot of things seem to take a long time.
They do. I'm a very impatient person and persistent. I think my donors are noticing that I'm persistent, and all of you noticing that I'm stepping up to do this again. It's worth the fight. We do need people who are used to getting work done, doers, not just talkers. And I will call on, my team, my congressional team, when I have a staff. I've run many staffs and effective teams that are front-facing. So I will provide prompt constituent services, but also I won't be shy or afraid to pick up the phone and develop relationships and speak up for Oregon, for the veterans, for these facilities in Roseburg, veteran care. I won't be shy about picking up the phone and asking if I can work with people who are interested in serving veterans. They're there. They're on both sides of the aisle.
Now, if you get to Congress, what would your first priority be?
Well, how many minutes? We don't have much time left, Kyle. Boy, I have, I don't look at problems in a linear fashion. It'll be an orchestration of effort. So you know from our many conversations on the air here, forest management is a priority. It affects just about every aspect of our governments, our local governments, the funding of our police, the sheriff. So that is a priority. Housing is a priority. That education, the schools, just refining government processes so things get done faster, to your point you just made. Getting things done quickly and efficiently, not wasting money, not encouraging the waste of tax dollars, not encouraging the funding of broken systems, but to working hard to fix them. Those would be my priorities. But, like I said, transparency, accountability across the board. Forest management, we have a huge opportunity with the tone and tenor of our federal government right now regarding the management of our forests and getting Oregon involved in managing federal forests. You know, there's discussions around that. And so I want to be there. That is a priority for me, to work with the people who want to solve those problems.
Now, statistically, when you get to the midterm elections, oftentimes the party in power takes a bit of a hit. Do you anticipate that maybe happening in 2026 for the GOP?
You know, I'm running this campaign like I'm behind all the time. Like, we have to always encourage people and motivate people to show up and vote for me, that we really can do it. We ran one of the top, we were in the top 10% closest races in the United States in 2024. My campaign outperformed every other Republican who's run in the 4th Congressional District for many years. I hope that people paid attention to that and realize that we can win. We have to give it a little extra. I'm doing that. And if everybody else shows up to vote, and, you know, this transportation tax gives a lot of people another reason to turn up to vote. I think there'll be an abolishment of the death tax initiative on the ballot. You know, there will be a lot of interesting things. And this is how we express ourselves. This is how we lead our country, is by showing up to vote. So the enthusiasm you said you've seen on the transportation tax petition and that I've seen with my campaign leads me to truly believe we're going to have a good turnout of voters, and not just Republicans, but fed up Democrats. And also, the largest voting block is the non-affiliated voter, who has not embraced, you know, extremes. They just want a moderate representative that'll get the work of government done. I think they're going to turn out. They did in 24, and they're going to turn out in even larger numbers so that we can secure common sense for the district.
Real quick, as we wrap up, do you have any appearances coming soon to Douglas County?
Yes, thanks for asking. Tomorrow I'll actually be popping down to Roseburg, tomorrow the 20th, for a noon meeting with Douglas County Republicans grassroots supporters. We're going to meet at noon at the Scoreboard Sports Bar, the Scoreboard. And then on the 29th of November, I'm going to join Douglas County Republicans and others for a Trump-Reagan legacy gala that I'm looking forward to. President Reagan, one of my favorites, the last president to win in Oregon. And then Saturday, this coming Saturday, I'll be in Benton County, going to Corvallis, and I'll be joining several people for a signature gathering location. That's next to the AMC Theater this Saturday afternoon. So I'll be supporting those volunteers.
All right. Out of time for now. Give folks your campaign website if they want to find out more.
Thank you. MoniqueForCongress.com. The F-O-R spelled out. Go to Facebook, Monique for Congress. Follow us there.
Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.